I never like beginning with an apology, but I want to apologize to Aaron for failing to get to him an announcement. Also, among those who have recently passed, James Craig, a member at Eastside and the uncle of Tony Richter, passed away this morning because of COVID. So, you know, that family has taken another blow, and I knew about that and just didn't get that to Aaron. But do remember that family. You know, I was thinking today about this whole year. I don't know that for Americans on the general scale that there has been a tougher year since the end of the Vietnam War. You know, with just, you know, so much, the COVID has impacted so much of our lives. It has impacted businesses, it's impacted churches, relationships. You know, it's had such an effect upon people. We've had unrest in various places. We've been through an extremely divisive political situation and election. And all those things, you know, those were true last week. But then just in these last 5 days, we've seen death impact families here, impact one of our own members. And that's tough. That you know, it's been a hard year that these last 5 days have made worse in some ways. But what I hope is that tonight that we find some measure of comfort and hope in the Scriptures. I don't want to suggest at all that it's wrong to be sorrowful, that if we shed tears at times like this, there's something wrong. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says we are to sorrow not as those who have no hope. You know, we don't sorrow like them. But he also says in Romans 12:15 that we weep with those who weep. It is perfectly normal that we weep at the passing of our beloved brother, that we weep with our brother who's lost his mother and just had the uncle added to that, and others that are suffering. We weep. These are difficult times, and sometimes we can't be there for one another in the exact same way we could before, but we need to be there for one another. Tonight, I'm not going to be preaching a traditional sermon. I will talk some, but the emphasis is going to be on the Word of God, just allowing some Scriptures to speak to us, and we're going to have a couple of prayers and a song. But I want you to think about this whole situation. I think we have to start at the beginning. Why do we have suffering, pain, sorrow, death in this world? It is because of Satan. Genesis chapter 3 and the story of how that Eve gave in to sin. And then Adam followed her. And then God evicted them from the garden, having placed curses upon the ground, upon them, and said, they are not going to be able to eat of this tree of life. I'm driving them out. That's where it all began. And I think it's important for us to realize that. If we sometimes wonder, well, why didn't God intervene in this situation, in that situation, I would say that we stand with many Bible characters in asking questions like that. The answer, sometimes we just don't know. But what we must know is that it is not God who wanted man to suffer. It was Satan who caused that. And I want you to turn with me to Revelation 21. I want to read this without a lot of comment, but I want you to see it is God who wants to undo that for us. Verse 1 beginning, Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. This is one of the things we have to overcome. But just think of that. No more death, sorrow, crying, no more pain. The 22nd chapter, verse 1, And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the street was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. In a time like this, when the curse has raised its ugly head, when being absent from the tree of life causes us deep pain, let us look to the God who wants us to enjoy the tree of life 12 months out of the year, who wants us to be with him where there is no curse. God wants us to enjoy hope in the midst of pain and sorrow. Death brings pain. Death is something that hurts. And this year, it's been in many ways worse in that sometimes, we can't all go up to the hospital with people. Sometimes people have died without family by their side, and all that just adds to it. And I know that, and I don't minimize that. But I want you to read with me a few passages. John, the 10th chapter, the 11th chapter, rather, when Lazarus has died and Jesus has come to Bethany. Begin with me at verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. I don't think this needs a lot of comment. But you look at verse 25. Our brother, our sister, They have died, but we have the word of Jesus that they shall live. But we also have the word of Jesus that in a real sense they have not died. Remember what he said of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That when God said, I am the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, he is not the God of the dead, but of the living. We can take comfort that we believe these live unto God. Our pain is they are cut off from us, but not from God. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. It's been read at countless funerals, and for good reason. Verse 13, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Let me just say that sleep in Jesus, what a phrase that is. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Those are words of victory. Those are not words of defeat. Those who sleep in Jesus, he said, they will rise first. They will be with him. In 1 Corinthians 15, death is portrayed as an enemy. It sure does feel like an enemy today. It really does. But it's going to be destroyed. He makes us that promise in verse 26. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Right now, we still can feel the sting of death. And we will feel it more times. But the day is coming when death will be swallowed up in victory. God gives us victory through Jesus. So even in our times of discouragement, our times of sorrow, let's be steadfast. Let's be immovable. Let's continue to abound in the work of the Lord. Because when you labor in the Lord, it will not be in vain. Let's take a moment and go to God in prayer.
Let us bow. O Lord, we give thanks to you always, remembering the hope that we have in thee. Our hearts are saddened over the loss of our brother Mark and over the loss of Tony's mother and our sister in Christ, Mrs. Richter. And we're also saddened over Mr. Craig's death, Tony's uncle. Mark showed his love for others and the things he did for others, not wanting anything in return. He loved his family dearly, wanting what was best for them. He was skillful in what he did, wanting things to be as perfect as possible. Mark was also a humble man, one who tried his best to lead a quiet life, to mind his own business, and was willing to work with his own hands to help others. Sister Richter gave her all for her family. She raised her children in the training and admonition of the Lord, wanting them to be faithful to you. Brother Richter was blessed with a wife who stood beside him in his work of the Lord as an elder, in good times and in not as good times. She was that example of a virtuous woman, one who was worth far above rubies. We are so thankful for their example and are comforted knowing that both of these have the hope of eternal life with you. We pray for Candy and the girls, for Tony and the Richter family, knowing this is a very difficult time for them. Comfort them at this time, O Lord, and be with us that we can be there for them, to help them through this time as best we know how. In Jesus' name, amen.
When I was putting thoughts together, I started just by listing a bunch of scriptures that I thought had some application at a time like this that would might be of some help, and tried to put some kind of organization to them. I know it's not the perfect, but one of the things that struck me as I was thinking about today, and really it's just about all that's gone on in the last year, and that is the fact that it doesn't matter what happens in our nation, any of the other nations of the world. You know, sometimes it looks like Satan has the upper hand. It looks like it in the political realm. It looks like it in the physical realm with all the sickness, the suffering, the increased isolation it's brought on. But a couple of passages came to my mind. In the Revelation, these were a people facing incredibly difficult times. As he goes through the book, he will, in pictures, show the enemies they faced. And those were some incredible enemies. You know, a dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns. You know, there was a beast that would come up out of the earth. There was a harlot that would drink the blood of the saints. And he has all these pictures. But before he showed them any of that, he showed them God on the throne. And brothers and sisters, the same God is still on that same throne. Chapter 4 of Revelation. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking to me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones. And on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes. And they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. 7 lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were 4 living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The 4 living creatures, each having 6 wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. It's the kind of vision that's somewhat overwhelming. And it's hard to get an exact picture of it. But I think that's part of the point. Is the majesty of God is so great that we just can't fully comprehend it. But we can appreciate it. And we can give praise and glory to him and realize he's not left the throne. But in conjunction with that, I want you to turn with me to Psalm 23, one of the most familiar passages in all of Scripture, and realize this Almighty God, this one who created all things, who is surrounded by these awesome creatures, is also a loving shepherd for his people. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How beautiful that is. Let's sing together for a moment.
Number 375. We've just read it. And now let's sing it. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want.
He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me in pastures green. He leadeth me. The quiet waters by, my soul he doth restore again, and me to walk doth make within the paths of righteousness, within the paths of righteousness, e'en for his own name's sake. Yea, though I walk in death's dark vale, yet will I fear none ill, for thou art with me and thy rod, for thou art with me and thy rod, and staff me comfort still. My table thou hast furnished in presence of my foes. My head thou dost with oil anoint, my head thou dost with oil anoint, and my cup overflows. Goodness and mercy all my life shall surely follow me, and in God's house forevermore, and in God's house forevermore, my dwelling place shall be.
So much has changed in this year, but the one thing that political upheaval, civil unrest, sickness, suffering, the sorrow that death brings, one thing it can't affect is that hope that we have in Christ. Read with me a couple of passages. And then after the second passage, we'll have another prayer. But Ephesians 1, what we have in Christ. You know, we so easily can become distracted by the troubles of this world and lose sight of these things. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Every spiritual blessing in Christ, it's still there. We still can be the sons of God by his adoption. We can still have redemption through his blood. Romans the 8th chapter, verse 31. And let me just say that in the preceding verses, he has spoken of the futility that the creation experiences, the groaning of the creation. Then he says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God doesn't want to give up on us. Let's not give up on him. Let's go to God in prayer now.
Let's pray together. Our Father and our God in heaven, we praise and glorify your great and your holy name. Our hearts are profoundly heavy tonight at the loss of our dear brother, Mark, and with the passing of Tony's mom and uncle. Please bless and comfort Candy, Danielle, Ashley, Logan, Tony, and their families at this sad time. We know you are Lord of heaven and earth and rule in the affairs of men. And you know our needs before we even ask. But you do want us to ask. We're thankful for the privilege of prayer. We know that you are all-knowing and all-powerful and can provide every good thing. We cast our cares and our concerns before your throne of grace and mercy. We trust in your love and in your word, in your promises. We petition you now for all peoples, that this virus that has gripped the world and caused sickness and death will soon be taken away and no longer be a burden to any nation, that you will bless our national, state, and local leaders and physicians to make the very best decisions to preserve life, liberty, and the welfare of this nation. We pray that the vaccine that has been prepared will be even more effective than expected and save many lives. That our brethren throughout the world, in this country, in our state and county, and all the brethren here at Jones Road will be safe from this terrible virus, that Christians can worship together again, and the gospel will thrive more than ever before in this congregation, throughout this country, and throughout the world. Bless our sick, our shut-ins, our elderly, and physically vulnerable to this virus. May they have the physical strength to overcome the virus and their infirmities. But if it is your will that we lose our physical lives on this earth, we know that you have prepared a much better place for us, that we can someday be in heaven with you. We have a hope, both sure and steadfast, anchored in your holy word. We have confidence in that. But we do pray now that very soon this COVID-19 will be a thing of the past, or at least something of little concern to man. But in all things, Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
One last section of scriptures before we close. And I've entitled this last little section, God's Grace Gives Us Hope of Victory. And that's what it really is all about. If we didn't have that hope that His grace bestows, I don't know what we'd do at times like this. Ephesians 2 and verses 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I was determined not to turn tonight into just a eulogy. I wanted it to just be a general look at the scriptures, but as I was putting down this passage and thinking about the fact it is by God's grace, no one deserved His salvation. And that as good a man as we think Mark was, as good a woman as Sister Richter was, they needed the cleansing of His grace. But that 10th verse, as it describes the Christian as God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, I couldn't help but think about the both of them. Tony's mother, so noted for her hospitality, her good works, that God was working in her to do that. And Mark, oh, it's just so many things. So many of you could name things He's done for you. It may not seem like a big thing to the rest of you, but I think these rails, they look nice, and they have probably saved my life. This is Mark's work. You know, this is the kind of thing, you know, all around this building there are things that He came up here during the week and worked on. Sometimes He had assistants. Tracy was one. Others helped Him. But Mark was a worker. He had been saved by grace in order to do these good works. Look at 1 Peter 1. I'm sorry. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. We may be grieved by various trials, but we know what awaits. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, You have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. 1 Peter was written to people suffering, people going through trials. The primary source of their trials was likely persecution. But a people who are suffering, he starts off by saying, see that inheritance. See what awaits you. And understand, we may be grieved for a little while, but we know in the end there is the salvation of our souls. Let's live so that we can say, like Paul in 2 Timothy 4, in verse 6, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering. In the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Like most of you, for many years, I would think most of you are like me, you've stood somewhat in awe of Paul and all that he did and all that he accomplished. And I don't know when it really hit me, but one day I was older than I should have been when it hit me, that here is this man that was so great and so wonderful, looking forward to that victory crown he would receive. And in essence, he says, and you too can have that same crown. Now, I can't get the same reward that Paul got. He says, we can. Because Paul, he was going to be given that because of God's grace. And we can receive that same victory crown. I can't say anything tonight that'll take away the pain that everyone here feels, but especially the pain that is so deep within the Dean family, within the Richter family. It's a deep pain, but I hope that reflecting on these passages does bring us some measure of comfort, that it strengthens our hope in Christ. I hope it has served that purpose. But as we close, let me ask you, is that hope yours? You know, we've talked a lot about hope and comfort, but it's for those in Christ. If you're not in Christ this evening, when we sing this song of encouragement, why don't you say, I want to be baptized into Christ? Or if you've turned away from Christ having done that, why don't you renew that tonight? We've been reminded of the importance of being prepared. Are you ready? Will you come as we stand and sing together?